Ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages, the Anchor Podcasting Network is proud to bring you the Someday award-winning podcast, Double Tap, presented by Mulraney Media. I am your host, Mike Mulraney. This is the podcast for best practices in social media, news affecting the industry, and a discussion about freelancing and consulting. Welcome to episode 5 of Double Tap, presented by Mulraney Media. I'm Mike Mulraney. I apologize for this episode being a couple of days late. When you're kind of a one-man show, when you're finishing the website and traveling out on the road, something has to give, and this week, unfortunately, it was the podcast. So, moving on to the much-anticipated episode 5, we're going to be talking about the Anchor-Spotify merger, some changes to Instagram and Facebook to make it safer for use, some updates to Facebook commenting and LinkedIn, and we're going to be talking about how to kill dead air at meetings when they go a little bit too fast for the environment. First things first, let's talk about the Anchor and Spotify merger. Spotify bought Anchor last week. Anchor, of course, is where this podcast is recorded and distributed. And over the last week, we've kind of seen details come out about what this means for users of Anchor. Initially, I was very excited to see this. And then Spotify has access to a lot of financial means that Anchor didn't necessarily have. Spotify is a much larger household name than Anchor is. And if you're a user of this platform, you started to get a little concerned about whether or not the program would remain free, whether or not your podcast will still be distributed on the certain platforms. And for an hour or so, these concerns were kind of bounced back and forth on the subreddit related to podcasting. And it got to the point where Anchor and its founders put out a blog posting on Medium to kind of clue people in on what the plan is for the future. Now, in this blog post, Anchor said when it sat down with Spotify, Spotify basically pitched them on getting Anchor superpowers and really juicing it up and keeping it what it is, but allow for Spotify to really take it to the next level. And in the Medium posting, Anchor stated it, everything will stay the same in terms of distribution, content creation, interface. And that's great. We're only 5 episodes into this. I have really enjoyed using Anchor. I really wanted to take advantage of the equipment that I already have. And I didn't want to go out and make something super expensive, especially early on, where I'm trying to get the hang of both launching my own independent consulting business and launching a podcast simultaneously in an effort to drive more attention to the business and kind of use this as an online resume and in an effort to show people why they should take a chance on this new consulting firm. So it was great to see that Anchor is going to maintain its distribution, which I assume to have meant that in the future, as Spotify continues to take Anchor over, your podcast will still be available on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Stitcher, and on Spotify. One of the reasons that I'm so excited about this, and I've been so excited about this, is that Spotify has made a lot of local musicians and a lot of B and C list musicians, Profitable has given them a new platform for their music. In fact, here in Albany, there's been a Times Union story about a local rapper who has used Spotify to distribute his music and to make a great side living uploading his music to Spotify. And that would be a great perk of Spotify and its algorithm and its Discover Weeklies, and this was what you might be interested in, and can you give us feedback into whether you're interested? Spotify is looking to take podcasts to the level that it took music and make it extremely accessible. And as long as Spotify remains committed to doing to podcasts what it did for music, throwing things you might not have thought you would have liked into your stream and sending you emails about it and putting it on end of the year lists and taste breaker playlists, it seems like this could definitely be a way forward for the podcast industry, where a lot of us starting off have the issue of getting reviews and getting shown on iTunes and on Google Podcasts and being discovered. And Spotify has shown time and again that it can take these other artists and get them the attention they need and the attention they deserve to make uploading to their platform worthwhile for everyone. And right now, I believe in the Anchor column that they published, 40% of all new podcasts come through the Anchor platform. And that's a testament to how easy it is and how, you know, drag and drop, push publish, record it on your phone, cut it up, send it out, it goes everywhere. How consumer friendly this app is. I'm sure Spotify will only make it easier for everyone to start their own podcast. And the more you're committed to this, I'm sure Spotify will reward you in terms of discovery, in terms of exposing yourself to a new audience, perhaps even an audience you hadn't considered when you started your podcast. So as of now, there's nothing changing about this podcast. I'm committed to Anchor. I'm committed to seeing what Spotify does with this. And I would encourage all of you who are looking at Anchor as a means to distribute your established podcast or podcast that's just getting off the ground. This isn't a reason to run away or take your time to see how it's going to develop. If you've done your research on Anchor, it looks like everything is going to stay the same, but it's going to be invigorated with Spotify and their creative people, and your podcast will have more room to grow on its platform. One of the biggest social media news items that came across this week was Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter all meeting with the British Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, and representatives from a mental health charity known as Samaritans that works to prevent suicide. The tech giants were called to the United Kingdom to discuss images of self-harm and depression and suicide that appear on their platforms. Molly Russell, a teenager in the United Kingdom, committed suicide following viewing material related to depression and suicide and self-harm back in 2017. Her father, Ian Russell, has been the number one advocate to get these tech giants to appear and to begin to remove content that promotes self-injury and suicide so that people who are going through a difficult time do not have access to this kind of content on their platforms. Facebook ended up putting out a statement that independent experts advised that Facebook should allow people to share admissions of self-harm and suicidal thoughts, but should not allow people to share content promoting it. A lot of people familiar with Post Secret, know that a lot of these messages tend to be uplifting. I was in this dark place and I was able to work through it, or I spoke to someone who cares. I think people seeing that kind of content, obviously the ban isn't all inclusive to that content. It's about injuries. It's about depressed individuals or people who are bullied, seeing these kinds of images over and over again with access to them on these platforms. Instagram chief Adam Mosseri also stated, "I have a responsibility to get this right. We will get better, and we are committed to finding and removing this content at scale and working with experts and the wider industry to find ways to support people when they're most in need." Instagram and Facebook have to get this issue under control, and these kind of cutting-edge technological companies, social media companies, are experiencing all of these issues in real time, and they're experiencing issues we had not thought of or perhaps have been on the periphery of our industry for a long time. And it certainly takes widespread public advocacy campaigns to bring them to the level of reporting to the British Health Secretary and getting it, bringing it to the real decision makers for these companies and getting these issues under control. Facebook and Instagram, probably more than anyone, definitely need to begin to curtail these kinds of images and these kinds of videos quickly, and they need to work on hiring the kind of content review specialists that they've really worked and hired following the Cambridge Analytica scandal. These kinds of disturbing images and these kind of images that can lead individuals to self-harm need to be taken as seriously as the interference in elections, and as we continue to understand mental health issues, and as we continue to better understand social media and how it contributes to mental health, we need to make sure that these areas and these tech giants are responsive to getting this content down, to policing its content creators in terms of video and imagery, and when these kinds of images are reported, that action is taken swiftly, and so that we can ensure that something like what happened to Molly Russell never happens again. And it's great to see Facebook and Instagram committed to taking this content down and looking at how to prevent something like this from happening in the future. My hope is that they take it as seriously as the election scandals here in the United States, and that when things like these are reported, that it's taken care of right away. A couple big beta rollouts over the past week. Facebook is back to considering a dislike button. This has been one of the great internet social media rumors over the past decade of Facebook testing out a dislike button, betaing it a few times, taking it away, eventually setting on the host of reactions you get every time you come in contact with a post. Facebook basically set up this round of dislikes as kind of the Reddit upvote, downvote feature. Over this time, there's been a lot of concern about whether or not that's really going to solve a lot of Facebook's problems in terms of trolling, in terms of hateful rhetoric, in terms of hurtful images. So Facebook rolled it out for about a couple of weeks, took it back. In an article in Social Media Today, I saw that they had spoken to YouTube about this, or someone from YouTube had spoken about this, where the downvotes and the downvote mobs can sometimes hijack some of your better content that you produce. The YouTube 2018 Year in Review was attacked by a downvote mob, making it the most disliked video of 2018. And in fact, YouTube and Google were so upset about the downvote mobs and how it affected their unique content that they've created, they actually briefly considered completely removing the dislike button from their site. And eventually they decided to stick with it and kind of make fun of their own video becoming the most disliked video of the year. And Facebook, for the time being, has stopped running this beta, and they're going to reconsider whether or not they want to proceed with a dislike button. I personally don't see a need for it. They have the anger button as part of the reactions to a post. That seems like a downvote or a dislike in and of itself. The current range of reactions you can have on Facebook are more or less all-encompassing, and there doesn't seem to be a need for further additions. If something is that egregious or something is that hurtful, you still have the ability to report it and Facebook will take it down, or the page itself could be proactive and take it down or hide it from other users. So there definitely was a time when a dislike button should have been a part of Facebook's plan, but now it almost seems redundant with the amount of reactions that are possible, with pages enabling most relevant or top comments to the top of their more interactive posts. It doesn't really seem at this time that there's really a purpose for the downvote or the dislike here on Facebook. So while Facebook is always looking to better improve page engagement or post engagement or having people accurately reflect how they feel, right now, it would almost seem like there's three or four different ways to express the same negative opinion. And as Facebook's trying to remold itself for year 15 into becoming a more positive place, the dislike on top of the red anger face, on top of top comments, all of that, and there just doesn't feel like there's a place for another negative reaction. And I wouldn't expect Facebook to let this internet urban legend come into actual existence or come into fruition, because there's just no room for it right now. Some big news on the LinkedIn front. The company announced that over 600 million users now use the platform, and LinkedIn Live is finally coming. Following in the steps of Facebook, Twitter with Periscope and Instagram, users of LinkedIn will now be able to go live. This is great news for freelancers who are trying to get more video product on the platform to make more people aware of what they can do. It's good news for social media managers and marketers, where these live events on Facebook can now be housed in a more professional platform. It allows for businesses to create their own in-house news shows to let people know what's going on, to give a better view of company policy, to get more people involved in what job opportunities can look like and workplace environment. This is a long overdue feature for LinkedIn, as it becomes begrudgingly more and more like a professional version of Facebook. The timeline is now sometimes filled with pet videos, with quotes, with odds and ends statements of embellishing waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and grinding while people are on the dance floor at sporting events with friends. It's a lot of how early Facebook was in terms of content creation. And now by going live, it's affording social media managers and marketers with more opportunities to create content. It allows for us to really loop LinkedIn in terms of content creation, in terms of public relations strategy, with coinciding maybe a LinkedIn Live with a new job opportunity, bringing in the old head of graphic design or vice president of public affairs to speak about what their position does, what they're looking for, who's involved in the hiring process. We could see videos of announcing product launches on LinkedIn Live, announcing expansions of the company. Freelance videographers and photographers can go live on site. This is going to be a top-down bonus for everyone, from the people doing the job search to creating the content to the bosses at the top. It's going to humanize a lot more of what goes on in industry. It's going to provide media managers and marketers with new places to house unique content that can really help in terms of B2B advertising, B2B connections. And what I'm interested to see from LinkedIn is whether or not there are going to be push notifications to your app when industries you follow, groups you follow, people you're connected with, when they go live. Facebook is still sending out notifications when people that you're friends with go live. Occasionally, if it's a page you view often, I'll give you a push notification when certain pages are live. I'm interested to see if LinkedIn's going to go to that level of reminding people to go to the platform to see this content, how long that content's going to be on the timeline. I would like to see it prioritized and get these push notifications. LinkedIn seems to be always hesitant of sending more push notifications than it needs. But I'm very intrigued with this. It's going to provide another great opportunity to get more video content. The more video content you can create, the more lives you can create, the more people are going to be drawn to your platform. Video, video, video is the wave of the future. I can't stress enough how much these platforms want you to create video so that you are seen, so that their algorithm continues to put out more video, and that the content people want to be a part of more than anything is video. I'm interested to see in terms of LinkedIn, will you be able to play these in the background? Because as you've noticed recently, Twitter has taken that away. If you're not on their site and you go to a different tab, the video stops playing. So my LinkedIn, if it wants to take video to the next level, to a version of videography that Facebook's in, let the video play in the background. It's likely going to be news, either from the Wall Street Journal or Time or The Economist or big businesses or small businesses. Let us run it in the background. Let us create the type of content that we want to create, whether we want the user actively engaged or passively engaged. LinkedIn Live, to celebrate 600 million users, it's going to take LinkedIn to the next level, and I'm excited to work with it. The The last thing I'd like to touch on in episode 5 here is more of a freelance consulting issue, and it's about meetings. Over the last week, I had a couple of great meetings, one of them in a coffee shop and one of them at a bar restaurant. The bar restaurant one, we sat down, we talked price, we talked what I could do for these pair of clients, what is expected of me, and it was a real feeling out process for the first about 15 or 20 minutes. We all took notes, we all spoke to each other, they said that they were going to get back to their supervisors and discuss it, and it got to be probably about half an hour later, and our food had not come yet. So at that point, it becomes a lot of, how about the Knicks? What do you think about spring training? How was the ride here? You start to really fish for topics. And I thought to myself as this was happening that this would be a great topic for the podcast to get the community more involved in. When these kind of meetings happen and you expect kind of a longer meeting to have occurred when you pick the location, and I always like to go to local small businesses and try to help the community out that way. What is your topic du jour? Like, how do you fill these kinds of meetings? For me, luckily, it was with an individual I knew, so I was able to steer the topic into, here are the people who still work in our office. How's your new job? How's your new, are you still in the area? These kinds of elevator small talk issues until they were prepared to leave and reach back out to me in a few days later about the project. Do you always try to steer it back to the services? Do you just continue to make small talk until an issue arrives or until the food arrives? Do you steer away from bar restaurants or restaurants because of this? Do you stick more to coffee shops? Do you stick more to co-working spaces so there's not that anticipation of another beer or getting an appetizer or waiting for that food to come? I'd be very interested to hear what your takes are and what's been successful for you. If you could leave a voicemail to this program, it's free and we love to hear about it, and we love to circle back on this and have a conversation and play the recordings next week so that we can all improve as freelancers and consultants. And the second meeting I had was too long for a coffee shop. We were there for about 2 hours talking about uploading your Excel sheet to Facebook. If you're coming from an older business that does direct mail, if you have a MailChimp set up, or you have a contact information bar on your page where people can reach out. This is a real estate company, so if people fill something out looking for new housing or in an application for new housing, you can go through and put that information into your Facebook Ads Manager to directly target these individuals. And we were going over Excel and Facebook Ads Managers and customer lists. And I probably finished my coffee half an hour in. And we were just kind of sitting at the coffee bar for an hour. And it was fine. All of the conversation was free flowing. He was very interested in taking his business to the next level and how these ads could work. But there's that feeling where the barista keeps coming up and asking, you know, and looking at you and seeing your empty coffee cups. And you kind of wonder, you know, you obviously have to go to a place where there is Wi-Fi service and you can sit down and have this. But do you just keep ordering coffees? Do you get a biscotti or something and leave it half eaten there so you can see, so they can see that you're still engaged? Is it just something that's on my end for being anxious or seeing these people coming up. But the meeting itself went very well. And I was just curious as to, again, to the group here, do you get a coffee? Do you get a second one? Do you find something small there that you can put in front of you so they know you're still engaged and they're not having this pressure from a supervisor or someone to come up and speak with you to see if you want more? They obviously can't tell you to go anywhere. It's a coffee shop and you have ordered something. So I was just curious as to what the group does. And if, again, you can leave a voicemail here on this program, they're free. And we can hear what you've done in the past when you're holding these kind of business meetings in small businesses, if they're going too long, if they're going too short. But the real estate project is something I'm very interested in looking into and helping this person purchase ads and what kind of audience we can create together. It's just sometimes I'm a little overzealous in the morning coffee meetings about how quickly I can go through a cold brew. All right, that'll do it for episode 5 of Double Tap, presented by Mulraney Media. I am Mike Mulraney, the host. You can find Mulraney Media everywhere now, thanks to the website being finished. Shout out to Wix and their 50% off sale on Valentine's Day. MulraneyMedia.com. You can find us on Fiverr, Mulraney Media, Facebook, and Instagram, both linked to the website, both Mulraney Media. If you're looking to get an idea of what the podcast is going to be about each week, we drop a quick hits double tap every day of or day before the podcast with one special topic on Instagram TV through Mulraney Media. And of course, this podcast, you can find it anywhere podcasts are available, on the Mulraney Media website, on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. I encourage you all to comment, rate, and subscribe so this podcast can get on more people's radar and we can continue to grow our community of freelancers, social media consultants, and individuals interested in the going on of social media marketing and managing. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you on Tuesday. I guarantee we'll get the next podcast out on time in 4 days. We'll see you then. Thank you for listening.